Hi, my name is Lester Spence. I'm an assistant professor of political science at Johns Hopkins University.
And I'm Elizabeth Tracy. Welcome to this month's Great Ideas. So is it Dr. Spence? Is it okay if I call you Lester?
Yeah, it's okay for you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. So Lester, you have quite a lot of history related to this election. Let's hear more about it.
Yes, my specialties are black politics and actually public opinion. I've been thinking about Obama's election in a few different ways. So one of the things I've been thinking about are the symbolic consequences of his election for African Americans and then also for whites as well.
So the symbolic consequences, let's talk a little bit more about specifics.
Here's one way to think about it. So me personally, first time I saw Obama talk in 2004 during the Democratic National Convention, I knew when I saw him that he'd be the first black president. I didn't think it would be 2008. I thought it'd be more like 2012, 2016. But when it actually happened, me and a number of others, we felt connected viscerally, not just with his election, but with America for the first time. So I was thinking about my own feelings about the president, about me actually claiming a president for the first time. And I just started to extrapolate this outward to black populations in general to think about the ways in which a number of us for the first time actually were Americans in some way. So that's one area of research that I'm actually interested in pursuing to see what type of attitudinal consequences there are for African Americans as a result of this election.
Well, I'd have to say it seems that you were remarkably prescient, since you say that you predicted that he would be the first president the first time you ever saw him speak. Mm-hmm. What was it about him that gave you those clues?
That's an excellent question. It was about the way that he weaved together themes that spoke to Americans in general, but also spoke to people on different sides of divides, whether you're talking about ideological divides, left-right, whether you're talking about racial divides, black-white. I saw him as someone who could actually speak to those divides in a way that I hadn't seen anybody do in the public arena.
But why would that be so compelling with regard to propelling somebody to the presidency?
Because our politics for the last 8 years at least have been so divisive. People on both sides of the aisle have been really wanting someone to speak to the best of what America could be rather than something else. And that's what I saw in him, somebody who could actually speak to American ideals, who could bring out of us our best. That's what I saw in him.
As a non-African American, I have to admit that a lot of the perceptions that you're revealing to me have largely been invisible to me in my experience.
Yeah.
And so I'd like you to expand some more on how his election is so symbolic in eliminating a lot of those perceptions.
Okay, so this is the way that a number of people have been talking about it. My wife and I have 5 children. And every good parent tells their kid, you can be anything when you grow up. For us, for African Americans, what we've been doing in one level is really lying to our children. Because there are some things that up until now, they haven't been able to do. Like up until now, we have never had a non-white president. So we've been lying to our black kids saying they could be anything. And I remember I wrote a speech as a third grader talking about me being the first black president. And there are dozens of us who gave similar speeches. And on some level, all of us were like lying to ourselves, right? So when it finally happens, what that means on one level is that we no longer have to lie. But on another level, what it means is that our own possibilities, our own abilities, we can finally be in a place where we can express all of them rather than just parts. African Americans have actually felt this way before, just not on a national level. So I grew up in Detroit. I was 4 years old when we elected our first black mayor. Coleman Young, who was the first black mayor, did a number of the same things as far as organizing new voters, as far as using new modes of networks that Obama did. When he was elected, my parents and black Detroiters in general felt the same way about Coleman Young being elected as we're now feeling about Obama. But at the same time that these mayors get elected to these cities are crumbling. So it's like you get elected and blacks are expecting all this stuff because that's what politics is about at base. It's about getting resources that help you to live your lives better. So at the same point in time, we finally are able to elect representatives. The representatives are no longer able to use government in order to deal with our needs, because as soon as Coleman Young's elected in Detroit, there's significant white flight and there's significant corporate disinvestment. So in order to get corporations to invest back in the city, he has to offer them tax breaks, which means that he has downtown development, but no tax base with which to develop neighborhoods. So what we end up getting is this symbolic thing like, wow, we've got a black mayor running our city. But at the same time, our economic circumstances don't change. So that's the flip side of Obama being elected, because he's elected when? When we've got the greatest economic crisis that we have ever faced in the modern era.
Are you suggesting then that this and other elections of African Americans are largely a Pyrrhic victory?
I think that that's the question. We'll see.
So if you were sitting right here in the Oval Office with, and I'm going to say President-elect Obama on one of his visits, and you were going to offer him what you thought was the most appropriate agenda for him to follow, what would you say?
Excellent question. What I would focus on is, first, I would figure out a way to deal with the mortgage crisis to help keep people in their homes. Then second thing I would do is I would come up with a big program that would give Americans hope again. So one idea that some people have floated is the idea of actually making college tuition free, or making that something that the government would take care of.
So two things: deal with the mortgage crisis and make education free.
Make education free. Not no tax credit. Make it free. That's what I would do.
Okay. Any other perceptions, conclusions that you've drawn from this campaign so far and the election that you'd like to share?
Yeah, so I began it by talking about the symbolic consequences of the election for African Americans. What that does for whites symbolically is it expands their conception of what America is. So no longer can people implicitly think that America is a white nation. America contains multitudes. It contains whites, blacks, Asians, Latinos. It contains a multitude of sexuality. It's extremely diverse. Electing Obama actually opens whites' eyes in a way that it's going to be really fascinating to see what comes from it.
I definitely agree with that. There's no question that it expands the nature of the whole thing. It becomes much more inclusive.
It becomes much more inclusive. So America is a work in progress. Obama's emphasized that. And democracy is something that we're moving towards. It's not something we have in all ways yet, but it's something we're moving towards. What Obama's election does symbolically is it gets us much closer to that goal. So the question is going to be how this bears out politically. So we talk about these symbolic consequences. Politically, does that make whites in this case more amenable to the types of changes that I think are going to have to be required to keep our country on an even keel? Or will we end up backsliding and going back to a time that I think none of us wants to revisit?
Right. The pendulum, of course.
Yeah, that's it.
Very good. Anything else you'd like to add?
One of the things that's prevented black candidates from being elected in the past is the use of implicitly racist campaign ads. And to an extent, we actually saw this in this election, where we have McCain and Palin actually linking him with terrorism, linking him with socialism. The fact that he was still able to win, even while being tarred with that brush, is an indicator that this tactic, I think this strategy that we call the Southern strategy, may actually be on its last legs. That is, it may be harder for candidates to evoke race in certain ways to either diminish support for non-white candidates or to increase conservative support for certain types of policies. We're going to need more data. We're going to need a couple of more elections at the state level, at least, and perhaps in the South to see. But I think another positive consequence of this is we may be seeing the death of the Southern strategy.
So it sounds like, in sum, you're really quite optimistic about what this symbolizes.
You know what? As you're talking to me, I'm really reflecting on this while you're talking to me. And yeah, I guess so. I talked to a friend of mine who writes for the New York Times, and I said that in many ways, this is both the best and the worst time to be alive. I mean, given all the economic challenges we're facing at the aggregate level, and we haven't even talked about sustainability, about the environment. We haven't talked about any of these real crises. I mean, the world as we know it is going to be very different 5 years out. But at the same time, we've got incredible opportunity. So this is like both the best and the worst time to be alive. And I'm really looking forward to these next 5 years.
Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you for having me.